I want us to look at this morning, love. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we're going to start at verse 34. It says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" Holy Spirit, help us to have ears to hear, hearts to be open, and feet to apply the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want us to grasp that the Lord God wants us to enhance in loving him, loving ourselves, and loving others. Amen. The Lord God's love for us, number one, is unconditional. In other words, I don't have to meet any conditions for God to love me. He loves me with my bad points. He loves me with my good points. God loves us unconditionally. Number two, he loves us with a selfless love. His concern is not what can he get from the relationship, but his concern is what can I give to the relationship. Thirdly, God loves us with a self-sacrificial love. When I woke up this morning, Galatians 3:13 was on my mind and says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." He sacrificed the perfect heaven to come to an imperfect earth. He sacrificed a perfect atmosphere in heaven to come to an ungodly, imperfect atmosphere on earth, because he loves us and he cares for us, and he demonstrated his love to us by sacrificing his life for doing those things for us. Now listen, God is the Redeemer. He has purchased our freedom. He has purchased our freedom. Do we realize that? He has purchased our freedom. God has rescued us from hell. I'm going to tell you something. If that doesn't crank your tractor, nothing will. If that doesn't get you excited, nothing will. Listen, he has done everything that he can do to give us the best life that we can have. He's the chief cornerstone. Listen, when we're going through stuff, he's the one that lines everything up. He's the one that holds everything together. He is the one that will never leave us nor forsake us, but he'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. We have a God. Listen, I don't understand how someone can accept the love of a person that loves them conditionally, that loves them selfishly, that loves them with a love that says, "What can I get out of this relationship?" But they can't love a God who loves them unconditionally, a God who is selfless, and a God who is self-sacrificial. How can you accept the love of somebody who is selfish and not accept the love of somebody who is the most unselfish person on the face of the earth? Think about it. First in the scripture here, it says that it was the first and greatest commandment. One reason why it is the first and greatest commandment is that all other loves flow out of it. All other loves flow out of the love of God. Our love for ourselves flows out of the love of God. Amen? Our love for others flows out of the love of God. You see, we can't love self or our neighbor in a healthy way without growing in love for God. So everything that we're talking about this morning flows from our relationship with God. It flows out of our love for God. In other words, to the degree that we enhance loving God will be to the degree that we enhance loving ourselves and loving others. When we love God first and we realize that it's the greatest kind of love that we can experience, then it's going to benefit us also, and it's going to benefit others. So if He is the most important person in our lives, then we will look to Him for our love and how we can love others. Listen, when we get this truth in our life, it will not only change our life, but it will change those who are in our circle of influence. I've had some people say, Bruce, how do you build the church? You build the church by loving God, loving yourself, and loving others. Because when we love God in a proper way, and we love ourselves in a proper way, and we love others with a proper way, then guess what? God's going to build His church. Then He says that we are to love Him with all of our hearts. Not just a quarter of our hearts, not just half of our hearts, not just three quarters of our hearts, but we are to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now listen, can I get it on a soapbox here for a minute? I'm going to put this as loving as I can, okay? With a smile on my face. I can't stand it any longer for people in the church to say, well, I love Jesus, but they act like the devil. Or I love Jesus, and I'm not going to submit to my lead pastor. How can you submit to one you don't see and... See, if we love God, we're going to love everybody else. Hello? Yeah. You see, it says we are to love Him first. We are to give Him priority. He is to take precedence over all other people. He is to take preference above every single one. We must put Him first, guys. If we say that we love God, then we will put Him first. He will be number one. Next, He says, we are to love Him more. Not only first, but more. Luke 14:26 says, if you want to come after me, you must hate father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, even your own life, or you cannot be my disciple. In other words, that doesn't mean that you go home and you get on the phone today and you say, Mom, I hate you. What that means is this, is that in comparison with all other relationships, in love, there is no comparison. We love God so much more than other people that it might seem like that we hate them, but we don't. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we are increasing to love Him more than anyone or anything. Listen, we're all in this process, hopefully. We're all being progressive and loving God because of His great love for us. Because how He treats us and has treated us and will treat us, we grow in love for Him. It's just like what Pastor Rick said this morning. It's like what Shannon said this morning. It means our love for Him is greater than any love we have for anyone else. Listen, I love my wife, and my wife loves me. But I'm going to tell you, as good as she is at loving me, she still can't love me like Jesus does. She's growing and loving me. I'm going to tell you, we've been married in April 4th. It'll be 35 years. And I'm going to tell you something. Those 35 years, I have seen her grow in her love for God. And as she grows in her love for God, I can see that demonstrated how she treats me. You see, in addition, our love for the Lord God is above and beyond any other love. We should be treating Him better than we treat our mate. And hopefully we're treating our mate pretty good. Husbands, if you forgot, today was Valentine's Day. God is a gracious God. I don't know how gracious your wife will be, but God is a gracious God. But those who are humble, so there might be a little humble pie in store for today if you forgot. Or if you forget a birthday. Know what I mean? Okay, thirdly, we are to love him passionately. The Bible says, be either hot or cold, for if we're lukewarm, he's going to vomit us out of his mouth. We are to love God with a... another soapbox. Today must be my day for soapbox. I don't get on soapbox a lot, but I can't stand it, man. People, they will go crazy. They will go lunatic for a sports team. I mean, they will act like a fool. And they come in church, it's like, well, bless God. Lord, I love you. Don't lie. Did you hear me? I said, don't lie. Because if you're not giving God the same passion you're giving a stinking football team or basketball team or baseball team, don't lie. If you're acting like a fool, listen, when Alabama was playing in the SEC championship, I was acting a fool. Man, I was getting loud. I was telling those coaches what to do, what not to do. What mistakes Lane Kiffin was making, offensive coordinator. I had a line right. Y'all didn't know that. I had a line right to him. Or I thought, I was getting upset. But you know what? If we're passionate about a sport, then we need to be more passionate about God. Hello? It'd be quiet in here this morning. Must be hitting a chord this morning. You see, passion is a growing, steadfast, strong desire. It's growing. It's enlarging. It's becoming bigger. And it's steadfast. It's constant. And it's a strong desire. It's not just a desire, but it's a strong desire. It's something that motivates us. You see, it means we have more passion for him than anyone or anything. More than our spouse, more than our friends, more than our phones. More than our computers, more than Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Some people spend more time looking at Twitter than... Well, never mind. Facebook, you know what we need? We need some FaceTime with God. Amen. Because he's the one that loves us more than anyone ever could or ever think. Well, next, we are to love self. It says that we are to love as ourself. As ourself. You see, this is not talking about an egotistical love in which we say, look how good I am. It's not an egotistical love. It is talking about a humble love by which we turn to the Lord God and we see what he has to say about us. And when we learn what he has to say about us, then how can we not love ourselves? Because we're listening to Almighty God, the one who loves us more than anyone ever could. You see, we have the view of the Lord God, not our view or the view of anyone else. We're listening to what God says about us. You see, we can't really love ourselves properly until we really understand what God says about us. We're learning our identity in Christ. You see, when we really learn our identity in Christ, then we can really grow to love ourselves in a healthy way. When we grasp the Lord God's love for us, then we will love ourselves. We will say, if he can love me that way, then I can love myself that way. Now, how many of us, when we sin, we really love ourselves? And we're sorry for our sin. How many of us really love ourselves if we're sorry for our sin? I can tell you, I don't. I go, man, I'm a worm. But think about the love of God. At the very point of my life in which I'm saying a worm, he's saying, Bruce, I love you. Bruce, I have died for you. I have sacrificed my life for you. How can we not love a God like that? And how can we not love ourselves with a God who loves us like that? We will say, if he can love me that way, then I can love myself. You see, I need to hear what the Lord God says so I can tell myself the same thing. You see, the problem is in loving ourselves is either we're either listening to what we're telling ourselves or we're listening to what others are telling us. But when we listen to what God tells us, then that gives us a healthy love of ourselves. The Lord God loves me and makes me love myself in a healthy way. It doesn't make me cocky. It makes me confident. It doesn't make me arrogant. It makes me confident. Because his love, listen, his love for us is by grace and mercy. The Bible says that he gives a greater grace, but he opposes the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. The humble. When we humble ourselves and we look to him to love ourselves, y'all know where I'm going? We're not going to be cocky. We're going to be confident in his love for us because of his grace and his mercy. You see, when we love ourselves like the Lord God loves us, we'll be free from being approval addicts. Hello? The church doesn't have drug addicts. They have approval addicts. Hello? It's true. When we love ourselves like the Lord God does, we can be freed from getting our worth and value from other people because we're getting our worth and value from what God says about us. You see, we know we are accepted by the Lord God, therefore it frees us from that so-called peer pressure. Listen, students, peer pressure is nothing but an excuse. It's nothing but a justification of me listening to the wrong voice instead of listening to God's voice. See, when we increase in loving ourselves the way the Lord God loves us, we will be even more secure. We will sense the significance. We will sense our importance in the place in the earth. We will sense the importance of why we have been put here. And that is to bless the Lord and bless others. You see, we will love ourselves with a healthy love when we get our love from God. Thirdly, it said in the scripture, it says that we are to love others. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're to love our neighbors. We are to love our neighbor with the unconditional love. Well, bless the Lord. His son drove his car right through my yard yesterday. Man, I've got two great ditches in my yard now. God says you got to love them because his love is unconditional. You gonna love that boy just as much if he hadn't have done it. And you know, he did it. You gotta love him just as much because it's unconditional love. No matter what people do to you, well, you just don't know. This person did this to me. God says we can even love our enemies. See, that's the difference between a secular person and a Christian person. Luke 6 says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. You see, there is nothing you have to do for me to love you. That's unconditional love. Even though I'm a personal trainer at Anytime Fitness, in Warner Robins, Georgia, and this brother here dares to sit on the front row with a Planet Fitness shirt on. I still love you, brother. I still love you, even though Planet Fitness. Do we understand? You see, this is how the Lord God loves us. It says, no matter what you say or do, I will love you. Just think if this world was to experience that kind of love, that unconditional love. Listen, y'all know, because I've said it before probably every time I've preached here, I go to Starbucks every week. And I go there, yes, to do work, yes, to do workbooks, but I go there to talk with people. Listen, I have to be real unconditional there, because there's a lot of Georgia fans there. And I'm an Alabama Roll Tide, Crimson Tide fan. Okay, you got to love me, remember. You still got to love me. If you're a Georgia fan, or God forbid, a Florida fan, I still got to love you. You got to love me, because it's unconditional, right? But think about what the world would be like. I have sat across from homosexuals, developed relationships with them, talked with them. I didn't say turn or burn, heaven or hell, God hates you. No. I'm building a relationship with them, and there's going to come a day where there's going to be an open door to where I'm going to give them the gospel. But right now, I'm loving them with the unconditional love. I'm not going to go, well, okay, you're homosexual, go sit at another table. Oh, you're Hispanic, go sit at another table. Man, that's crazy. I had a young man sitting in Starbucks the other day. He had on an Alabama shirt. I was like, yeah, all right. And I had on an Alabama hat. And I said, hey, man, Roll Tide. And this is what he said, a 19-year-old Hispanic young man. He said, sir, may I sit down with you and can we talk? I was thinking, oh, this is definitely an opportunity from the Lord. And he sat down and we just began to talk. And I'm going to tell you something. God was in that place. Did you know God can be in a coffee shop? Just like he can be in church? Why? Because as Christians, when we love people with unconditional love, no matter if they're a drug addict. I met a young man there one day. He was drunk as a skunk. I mean, he was out of it. But he did this. Sir, will you sit down and talk with me? I sat down and I talked to him. I didn't go, man, you're drunk. Okay, when you sober up, I'll talk to you. Listen, that's not being Christ. That's not God's kind of love. That's the world's kind of love, folks. Next, we are to love our neighbor with a selfless love. Being selfless is having little or no concern for ourselves. Having little or no concern for... You might say this morning, well, brother, you just don't know my husband. You know what? I don't, but God does. And God said that we are to show his love even to those whom we think don't deserve it. And when we do, we are demonstrating Jesus Christ to them. And it will eventually speak to them. You see, this means to be selfless means we're focused on what is good for others, not ourselves. It means it is we're being unselfish, and it is unselfish concern for or devotion for the welfare of others. You see, our relationship would be a lot more healthy if we lived selfless lives. Now, I'm going to tell you, for Donna and I, my selfless is going shopping. I think shopping is of the devil.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, I'm going to get it going home, but that's okay. I got the mic right now. She'll have it later in the car going home. But you see, we're concerned for others. Listen, guys, this Christian thing is not about us and what we want. It's not about me and what I want. It's about others. Our relationships would be a lot more healthy if we live selfless lives. It may be something that is to our disadvantage, but it is to the benefit of others. I'm going to tell you, we can really say that we're loving somebody else when it's to our disadvantage to do something, but it is a benefit to them. That is the very depth of God's love. You see, because it's easy to do things for others when we get some kind of benefit out of it. That's the world's kind of love. This is one of the highest forms of love, when it is to our disadvantage to do something that's going to benefit another person. Thirdly, we are to love our neighbor with a self-sacrificial love. And to do that, it means that we have to give something up. Now, I said this yesterday in the marriage seminar, but I didn't realize that Alabama was playing Notre Dame in the national championship game. And before that, I went to Donna and I said, "Honey, I want to take you out on a date on this date and this time." Yeah. And so our youngest daughter, who is a huge Georgia football fan, texts me. I told her, you know, what Dawn and I were going to do. And she texted me back and said, "Dad, don't you know that's the night of the national championship game?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that." Okay, well, I guess this is one time where it's to my disadvantage and her benefit. So, and Donna, as gracious as she was, she said, "Bruce, listen, I know that you like Alabama and I like Alabama." And she said, "If you really want, I'll stay home. I'll cook supper and we can watch the game." I'm telling you, I got the best. But, you know, the Holy Spirit pricked my heart and said, "Which do you love more, the football game or your wife?" She won. But God blessed me for it, because we're sitting there eating supper, right? My phone goes off. I'm like, because Donna and I, when we go out, we have a thing where we don't pull our phones out. You know, it's all about us. It's not about a stupid phone. But anyway, sorry I made some of you mad. But anyway, it's not about a stupid phone. But I put it out, and I was like, "Oh, it's Sarah." And I looked, and she said, "Dad, Alabama is killing Notre Dame." And I was like, "All right, God's giving me grace. He's going to let me hear the score on our date." But you see, the thing is, I don't think we really understand self-sacrifice. But we have to really get to know the love of God to understand that self-sacrifice. You see, it is to sacrifice our interest. Now listen to this one. Our preferences. Our preferences and our desires. It's where we sacrifice those things for the good of the other person. That's love. The Lord God wants us to increase in loving Him. He wants us to increase in loving ourselves. He wants us to increase in loving others. Because when we do that, it makes a powerful impact on Him. He says, "My people really mean business with me. They really love me." So it makes an impact on God. It blesses Him. But then it blesses us. And then it's a blessing to other people. So what is the action lab this morning? What do we need to do to increase on loving God, loving ourselves, and loving other people? I want to give us three things real quickly that we can do this morning. Some habits that we can develop that will give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Did you hear me? Habits that we can develop that will give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Number one, get to know who God is. Not what he has done for you. Hello? Just get to know him for who he is. He is Redeemer. He is Savior. He is life giver. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the bread of life. He is the vine. Get to know who he is. I tell you, a great place to start, Psalm 103. Who forgives all your sins. He's a forgiver. Who heals all your diseases. He's a healer. Who redeems your life from the pit. He's a redeemer. Get to know who he is. Secondly, grasp what the Lord God is saying about you. To love yourself, grasp what the Lord God is saying about you. Get to know who you are in Christ. There's a workbook out there. That's what it's about. It's called The Real You. The Real You. Get to know who you are in Christ. If you don't want to do that, you can Google My Identity in Christ. It'll give you scriptures that you can take, you can memorize, you can meditate upon them. And I'm going to tell you, it will change your life. Next, the third thing we can do to love others, to love our neighbor, is we can think of things that we can do to take the attention off of ourselves and put the attention on somebody else. What can you do for your wife today that's going to take the attention off of you and put it on to her? Tomorrow at work, that person at your work that you just want to lay hands on repeatedly and suddenly until they fall out. Hey, I've had a few of those in the church. I wanted to preach their funeral. Hey, I'm just being real. Okay? Yeah, I'd love to lay hands on them. God wouldn't let me. But what can we do tomorrow at work for that person that just really rubs us the wrong way, like a person who wears a Planet Fitness shirt, like on the front row? You know, I'm just kidding, right? Just messing with you. What can we do? See, where was the attention there? The attention was on me. The attention wasn't on him. What can we do to put the attention on that person at work? To do an act of kindness for them? I'm going to brag on my wife. She had a boss one time. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't be able to work there. Either this boss would have been dead or I would have been dead. But I'm going to tell you, she would come home and just say, I got to love her. I've got to love her. And this boss would share things with the girls, and Donna would be one of the first ones to text her, hey, I appreciate you, I love you, and I'm praying for you. I told her, I'd have been texting, I've got a gun, come over and let's talk. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, the attention wasn't on, man, this lady has hurt me by things she's done to me. She has hurt me by things that she has said to me. Her focus was not on all that stuff. Her focus was on, listen, I've got to be Jesus to this lady. Because, listen, let me give ourselves a clue this morning. Sinners act like sinners. Sinners act like sinners. And we have the responsibility to love them. But when we do, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. In our life and in their life. Let's stand this morning. Appreciate you being attentive this morning. But I tell you, God's not done yet. God wants to do something this morning at the altars. And the altar call is simply this. If you want to grow in loving God, If you want to grow in loving yourself in a proper way, and if you want to grow in loving others in a healthy way, I want you to come find a place of prayer right now. No hesitation. Come right now. Find a place of prayer and talk to God about growing and loving Him, about growing and loving yourself in a proper way, and growing and loving others in a healthy way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lord. Saints of God, pray this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we magnify your name this morning. God, we're not here to rush out of here this morning. God, we're here to meet with you. God, we're here to grow in love for you. God, we're here that our love for you might be enhanced. Lord, that our love for ourselves, that our love for others might be enhanced also, God. Come and meet, come and speak, come and give revelation, Holy Spirit, to the love of God, to the love of self, to the love of others. Minister by your person and by your power this morning. Maybe you're here and this morning and you say, Bruce, you just don't know how this person has hurt me. You just don't know what they said to me. You just don't know what they did to me. You know what? I don't. But I'm going to tell you this, that if you are a genuine Christian, that there is the person and power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. That love that God has for you that is unconditional, that is selfless, that is self-sacrificial, that says, listen, I'm going to love you no matter what you did to me or what you said to me. I'm going to tell you this morning, you can be free. You can love that person that has hurt you. You can forgive that person that has hurt you this morning. And God can bring a blessing into your life. God can bring a blessing into your life. God can minister to you this morning. God can help you to love that person like they have never been loved before. God can use you to be Jesus to them. I encourage you this morning, let go and let God have His way this morning. There's someone here this morning, you're holding unforgiveness towards somebody. You feel like somebody did something to you, but you're eaten up with unforgiveness. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you don't let go of that unforgiveness, it's going to become a cancer in your life. It's going to affect your relationship with God. It's going to even affect the way that you love yourself. And it's going to affect the way that you love others, because you won't be able to love them. It'll be like pus coming out of an infected sore. God says, let it go. God says, forgive. God says, give up that revenge. God says, stop trying to understand and love and forgive. Stop trying to figure it out. Just love and forgive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, move by your power. Move by your spirit. Move by your power. Oh, I pray for revelation. Revelation of who you are. Revelation of who they are in you, God. Lord, that we'll love you first. We'll love you more. We'll love you passionately, God. Lord, that we'll love ourselves in a healthy and proper way, God. That we will love others, Lord. I pray, Lord, for that confidence. I pray for that courage. I pray for that working of your mighty power and that working of your mighty spirit. Lord, that we would walk in who you say we are. Lord, that we would have deaf ears to the voices that would speak half-truths to us or would speak lies to us. I declare the voice of God being manifested in our lives to the point to where we grow and that security and that significance in the name of Jesus. Oh, I declare the working of your mighty power, the working of your mighty spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You are a miracle working God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you heal hurt. I thank you that you heal pain. I thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I declare the working of your mighty power, the working of your mighty spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you love us with an everlasting love. You love us like no one else can love us. Lord, for the one this morning that feel devoid of love today, I pray that your love would become so strong to them, Lord, that they would learn how you love them. Lord, that they would grasp that, they would think about it, they would meditate upon it. Lord, I thank you for it. God, that we'll grow in loving you. We'll grow in loving ourselves and we'll grow in loving others. Use us, God. Use us, God. Hallelujah. Use us, God. Use us, God. Use us, God. Oh, Lord, for your glory. God, that we would be the church. Lord, you said that you would build the church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we look to you to have that enlargement of love for you, that enlargement of love of ourselves, that enlargement of love for others. Use us, use us, use us, God, to make an impact on others. Use us to make a difference in the lives of others today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Use us. Use us, God. Use us, God, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, the attention would be taken off of us, and the attention would be put on others. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, work it. Work it in our lives, oh God. We submit to you. We humble ourselves. And we say, God, work in our lives. Work in our lives. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for gracing us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the mercy. God, place in our hearts compassion. Place in our hearts compassion for those, Lord, whom we really don't want to give it to. God, place compassion in our hearts. Lord, that we would be like that good Samaritan. Lord, that when he saw the need, Lord, that he moved, God. Lord, he not only had a feeling for that person, he not only took pity on them, but God, he did something about it. Lord, right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, fall upon this body. Fall upon this body. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit be on this body of believers like never before. Lord, may this body reach others for you. May your kingdom be built today. Lord, may there be miraculous things that take place in this house. Lord, may it bring you glory. May it bring you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, upon this house, Lord, upon this house. Lord, upon these young people, God, as they're in school, Lord, that there'll be that salt and light. There'll be that godly influence, God, that they will not listen to the lies that are spoken to them by others, God, but Lord, that they will get their worth and value from you. They will look to you. They will have their ears and their eyes and their mouths fixed upon you, the author and perfecter of their faith. Lord, that you will use them mightily. Lord, that they'll receive revelation from you like never before. Lord, that there'll be maturity and growth in you. Lord, that they'll always be open and receptive and responsive to the Spirit. And Lord, that they'll also be open and receptive and responsive to the Spirit of God using others to speak into their lives. Yes. Give parents wisdom today, God. Give them wisdom today, God. I want to say this, and then this is the last thing I'm going to say. Parents, grandparents, single people. One of the most powerful things you can do is not only learn who you are in Christ, but start proclaiming that to your friends. Start proclaiming that to your kids. Start proclaiming that to your grandkids. Start speaking to them who they are in Christ. Even at first, they might not receive it. Even at first, they might not believe it. But I'm going to tell you something. If we'll continue to pray it into their life and we'll continue to speak it into their life, it will make a difference in their life. And God will move. And God will eventually do things. Because we have been obedient to the voice of the Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless these people as they lie down, as they rise up, as they go out, as they come in. Lord, that you'll bless them at work, that you'll bless them at home, that you'll bless them at the stores. God, that you'll bless them in every area. Lord, we thank you for it. Amen.